Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So tonight I want to talk to you about, I believe it's a very important subject. You know, over the last year specifically, the prophetic has been very much under attack. What I mean by that is that in the body of Christ, you know, we can see that the prophetic is an extremely important gift of the Spirit that has been given to the church for the purpose of edification, exhortation, and comfort. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, Paul overemphasizes the importance of prophecy and just how wonderful that gift is, because when an unbeliever or an uninformed person, in other words, an immature Christian, walks in to the church and they see the gifts of the Spirit in operation, but specifically the gift of prophecy, it has an incredible way of touching the heart of people that see it in operation. There's also nothing more beautiful than being on the receiving end of a word that comes from God. I can honestly tell you that I don't believe I would be here today if it were not for the prophecies that were given to me when I was 19 years old. Those prophecies I've seen in my life play out. When I remember receiving them, thinking, how can this be? How can this be? How can these things happen? And over the years, I began to see the prophecies that were given to me through individuals that, you know, have a lot of good fruit on the tree. I've seen how they've played out. Now, prophecy is important in many ways, because prophecy preserves you, prophecy encourages you, it strengthens you and it builds you up. But in the same breath, even the Word of God is like prophetic. And what I mean by that is God's word never ever stops. It's not like it ends. It was what he said before and it doesn't mean anything anymore. God's promises are yes and amen. And if he gave a promise before, that promise is still applicable to us today. Are you with me? What's important when it comes to the prophetic, though, is how we respond to the prophetic, or how we respond to God's word. Just equally, in fact, probably even more important than how you respond to prophecy specifically, the way that we respond to God speaking really is extremely important and will determine the outcome of that in your life. For example, if God's word says something and you don't believe it and you don't act upon it, the chances are you will not see it in your life. Remember, I think it was yesterday this morning in the e-course, I read the Bible says that Jesus said to his disciples that if you believe in me, you will do the same works that I do. But that's not what he says. He says, if you believe in me and the works that I do, you will also do them, and even greater works you will do. But he also says that you must believe in the works. He doesn't only say that you must believe in him. And the problem with much of the church today is that they don't believe in the works. And if you study Scripture and put it into context, you can try and theologize it as much as you want. He's talking about miracles, signs, and wonders. So he's saying, if you want to, you know, that he's saying to them that you will do these same works that I have done, but you'll do greater works. But in order for us to believe that, or in order for us to see that in our lives, we have to act upon God's word that's spoken to us through Scripture, primarily. And every now and then a word that will come through someone where God speaks to you. The Bible says that your man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that can come through Scripture, that can come through prayer, that can come from somebody else. It doesn't matter how upset you are about it, God does speak prophetically still today. It's in the Bible. So we must embrace all that he has. I remember as a young man, going to church, and my pastor was particularly prophetic, so I would expect a prophecy every week. Just so you know, he's only prophesied over me before I started the ministry probably 3 times, maybe 4, in 22 years. Then after that, since I've been in the ministry, he's prophesied over me more than 3 times, like every time I see him now. But when I was being developed, you see, it was important for me to learn to hear God's voice for myself. You know, so even if he had a word, he wouldn't necessarily give me that word because he knew that I had to find out from God the things concerning my life. I've taught you how to do that. I've taught you how to tap into the secrets, the mysteries about your life. And so we're not going to get into that this evening. But I want to show you just how important it is to respond to God's word or promises in the correct way, and it will determine how that promise will affect your life. Many people think, well, I got a word from God, it never came to pass, so it was false. No, you got a word from God, you didn't respond to it, so you never got it. And I'll prove that to you. Let's go to 2 Kings 2, verse number 8. 2 Kings 2, verse number 8. Now, before we read this, let me say this. The prophet Elijah was an extremely awesome prophet. Like, if you had to tell me if you could meet all the prophets, it's kind of tough for me because I really like Elijah. I really like Isaiah. I really like Jeremiah. So it's kind of difficult, you know. But Elijah and Elisha, there's just something super radical about them. There's just something dangerous. Like, people make Elisha upset and he calls bears out to kill them. You know, I kind of like a prophet like that, you know. And all they did was laugh at his bald head. That's it. Now you theologize that for me. And he was still a man of God afterwards. I don't know what the Lord was thinking, but anyway. But these guys were awesome. I mean, they would do the most wild stuff. But in the ministry of Elijah, even after he called fire down from heaven, he gets the prophets of Baal to all get wiped out. Jezebel's been completely exposed, and the children of Israel turn to God, but then she sends a threat to him, and he begins to become fearful, and he goes and hides in a cave, and his ministry kind of comes to an end. It doesn't really, because he's still got some things he has to complete, but his ministry kind of comes to an end. And then we see how God wants to utterly destroy this Jezebel because of the evil that she has done. And he's going to use the prophet Elisha. In the time of Elisha, this will happen. In fact, he tells Elijah that he wants him to go and anoint Elisha in his place and Jehu as king, because Jehu would be the one that would wipe her out. It's interesting to me as well, because when you look at the life of Jehu, like, you would think it's going to take like some major warfare and all this stuff. Jehu rides on his horse, Jezebel falls out the window, and she's dead. It's like it's because God said this is how it's going to be, and that's it. He said that there was a word that went out that the dogs would lick up the blood of Jezebel. And that's exactly what happened. All that was left was her bones. All right, I've got strange humor, I guess, sometimes. Okay. But I want to show you how Elijah responds to the word. Watch this. 2 Kings 2, verse number 8. Now, Elisha is about to replace Elijah. And they're standing at the Jordan to go over to the other side. It says, now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you. And Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. In other words, he's saying, listen, the forces that you had to face, you could not do. I need a double portion so that I can overcome those forces that the Lord wants to destroy. And so he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. And then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of heaven and its horsemen. So I saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the God of Elijah? And where he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. I want you to see verse number 8 and verse number 4 are very similar. In other words, Elisha did what Elijah did. He took the mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, and it parted this way and that. Now again, I always try and bring things to a very practical kind of level. I want you to imagine Elijah gets taken up. Elisha sees him go. He believes he has a promise that if he sees him go, he's going to get this double portion. The mantle falls on the ground. Elisha's standing there. I don't hear fire from heaven. I don't see the voice of the Lord doesn't come and say, Elisha, pick up the mantle. There's nothing. But what does he do? You see, he heard the word that said, if you see me go, you will receive it. You ask for a hard thing, but if you see me go, you will receive it. So what does the prophet do? The prophet goes and he picks up the mantle. He walks over to the water. Just imagine this, guys. He walks over to the water. He cries out, where is the God of Elijah? He takes the mantle and he whacks the water. He's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. What convinced him that this was even going to be possible? You see, it wasn't possible. There was nothing normal about what he did. In fact, it's completely crazy. But you see, what he did was he responded to the word. The only thing that he could remember was the very last thing that Elijah did, which was to take the mantle, strike the water, and he knew it would separate. So what he did was, instead of just saying, oh, well, I don't really know what's happened, and just swimming across the river to get to the other side, he took a step of faith. He picked up the mantle. He struck the water, and he knew that God had anointed him. He knew that he had been called to receive that double portion and to take his place. But what you must understand is that he chose to do it. He responded to that word. He responded. And the Bible actually says there that he saw him and then he didn't see him anymore. So he must have thought, I'm getting it. Oh, it's gone. But in that moment, he had a choice to respond to that word, to respond to that promise, or to not respond to it. And he made a decision to pick it up and to act out the faith of what he had been given as a word, as a promise. And he went out. And brother, let me tell you, this guy was radical. I mean, he did some wild stuff for the king. And it's very interesting because, you see, Elijah had done a certain amount of miracles, but Elisha had done double except for one. In the kingdom, it is important that you and I respond to God's word as though it is real and true and active right now. If God gives you a word, listen, if God comes to you and says, son, I'm going to turn you into an evangelist as surely as you live. You're going to do this and you're going to do that and you're going to change the world and you're going to preach and you're going to go all over the nations. And you go and you feel the presence of God and you're so excited about it and it's so wonderful. The next morning you wake up and think, I'm ready to go. You don't make an effort to study. You don't make an effort to pray. You don't begin to seek the Lord. You don't get plugged into church. You don't begin to serve. You don't get involved. You think you've just arrived now. You're the great evangelist. It's going to just happen all by itself. In other words, you do nothing. You don't respond to the word. You have to respond. You have to train. You have to believe. You have to act by faith. You've got to step out. You cannot do nothing about it. If you do nothing about it, nothing will happen. And then one day, when you're old and gray, you're not going to be able to say, God, well, you said I was going to be evangelist. What happened? Well, God's going to say, I told you. What did you do about it? Did you respond to the word or didn't you? Well, you know, there's so many promises in the Bible, but they don't apply to me. Well, you're right, they don't. Because you don't respond to his word. When something bad happens, do you even know what the promise is? Where that thing should be illegal in your life? Because if you don't, how are you going to fight with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? You see, every time the enemy brings a suggestion or brings even something in the natural into your life, you need to take the sword of the Spirit to execute a judgment against that thing according to the word of God. In other words, you are illegal in my life. When the enemy attacks your family, you are illegal in my life. You have to fight with that word according to God's word and strike that thing down. Are you with me? But it requires a response from you. You cannot just do nothing. People who do nothing, nothing happens. Amen? Now watch this. This prophet, if you study his life, you will see Elisha. He was unbelievably just, he would operate with the most unreal faith. He would just respond to God's word in the most unreal ways and do the most radical things. I mean, he just was wild. But at the end of his life, he got to a place where he was about to die. In fact, the Bible tells us that he became sick with an illness that was going to cause him, this illness would bring him to his death. Let's go to 2 Kings 13:14. Watch this now. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." It's interesting that this king quotes exactly what Elisha quoted with Elijah when he saw Elijah go up. And really what it suggests is that he's busy saying, he's busy talking about how he believes that this is truly a man of God. That he's honoring him. He's really just speaking honor into his life. But in that moment, Elisha says to him, look at verse 13. And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. And then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hand on the king's hand. And you must understand, he's busy dying. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. So everything so far, everything the prophet has said to him, he has done. Are you with me? He says to him, "Take the bow, put it in your hand." He takes the bow, he puts it in his hand. He says to him, "Open the east window." And he opens the east window. So everything so far is absolutely perfect. Everything is going according to plan. Can you say amen? Then Elisha said, "Shoot," and he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." So he says to him, "Listen, I want you to shoot this arrow out the window." I don't know what the king's busy thinking, but if it was me, I'd be thinking, what's wrong with the prophet? He's definitely dying. He shoots the arrow. Then he gives him a word from the Lord. He says, "Listen, you are going to destroy the Syrians. You are going to strike them down till they have been destroyed." It's a good word. Can you say amen? Then he said, "Take the arrows." So he took them. So the king takes the arrows. He took them and he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times." First, he tells the king that he will utterly destroy Syria. But because of the response of the king to the word of the Lord, where he says, "Take the arrows and strike the ground," because of his response of only tapping it three times and not being fully committed and stepping out and doing something completely radical, what happens is he says, "Now you will only destroy Syria three times." In other words, the promise that you were given will now not come to pass. Why? Because of the way that you responded. When God says to you, "Listen, I'm going to utterly destroy your enemies." Some of you will like this way too much. "I'm going to utterly destroy your enemies. I want you to take an arrow and strike the ground." What are you going to do with that arrow? I can tell you what you should do is take that arrow and hit it and hit it and hit it till it breaks. But he doesn't do that because this doesn't make any sense to him. It's not kingly correct. So he takes the arrow and only does it three times. He doesn't respond in faith. He doesn't respond by saying, Lord, you're going to help me to strike the Syrians and utterly destroy them. And he doesn't go and just, he doesn't just respond with this absolute childlike faith like the prophet Elisha did when he received his promise. He rolls up the mantle. I want you to know that the other prophets on the other side of the Jordan watching him, they must have looked at him and thought, if he goes and hits the water and nothing happens, he's going to look like an idiot. Am I allowed to say idiot? Not really. Okay. But the king responds in a way that doesn't show great faith. And because of his response to God's word, response to the promise, he doesn't end up getting to see that promise fulfilled. And it's because of his response. You see, when it came to Elisha, his response to God's word was one of total faith and total trust. And unfortunately for the king, he didn't end up having the victory that the Lord wanted him to have based on his response. Was the promise there? Yes, it was. But his response determined the outcome, which was not the response that we all wanted him to have. Are you with me? But what about Elisha? Elisha was promised a double portion. Double. But up until this point, Elisha had only received all the miracles, but there was still one that had to take place in his life in order for him to be able to see a complete double portion of the miracles. Let's take a look. Verse number 20. Then Elisha died. It's over. He didn't get a full double portion of the miracles that he was supposed to get. There was one miracle missing. Or was it over? And they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. And so it was, as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders. And they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was laid down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. In other words, there was still one miracle that needed to take place. And because Elisha always responded to God's promise in a way that really was completely full of faith and way out, even after his death, God made sure that the full promise would be restored to him. And that guy fell on his grave. And when his body fell on the bones, the guy ended up being raised from the dead. Can you say amen? I want you to know that there may be people in this room that you feel like your promise is dead. You feel like whatever it is that God said you would do, it's over for you. Well, I want you to know that even dry bones, even dead bones can live again. But you have to decide to respond to God's word. You have to make a decision that you are going to respond to his word in a way of faith, that you're going to respond to his word and believe his word to be true. We were talking this morning in the course about how, you know, like I said earlier on, how important it is for us to believe in everything that Jesus said to be true. And the only way that we can prove it is by acting on it. How will you respond to God's promises? How will you respond to God's word? Are you going to strike the ground twice or three times instead of striking it with faith and enthusiasm and excitement? And the Bible says that Elisha actually got angry. He got so angry, a few minutes later, he died. Well, maybe it was days. We don't know, but he died really soon afterwards. But because of the way he responded to God's word, God honored him so much that even in his grave, he made sure that he had a full double portion. Can you see just how powerful God's promises are? Your promise is not dead if you are still alive. But you must begin to respond to God's word by responding to it in faith and doing whatever it is that He's called you to do. If God said you're going to be a musician, best you start practicing. If God said you're going to be a preacher, begin to preach to your animals and your stuffed animals. If God said you're going to change the world, begin to believe it, begin to act on it. If God said He's going to raise you up to do something, begin to make a step and begin to do something. I've seen so many people that God has got this great plan for their lives, but they don't want to stop at the bottom. They think it's just going to arrive. Listen, before Elisha became the prophet, he was the servant of Elijah. He was the servant of Elijah. And he had to go with him everywhere he went. And nothing was glamorous for him. But then when the time came, God anointed him. And then he acted on his faith in every scenario. There was a young boy that was dead. The prophet goes and tells the woman that her son's going to be raised from the dead. He goes to the house. The child's still dead. He prays for him. He's still dead. So what does he do? He goes and lies on top of him. That's faith, guys. He's acting on the word. He believes that God's going to do it. Are you with me? That's what it's going to require from you. It's going to require you to step out. It's going to require you to be bold. Oh, you know, well, maybe it's just not for me, Pastor Alex. You're right. If that's your attitude, it's not for you. But if you choose to believe God's word, you know, I was thinking about it this afternoon. The Bible says, I give you authority, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That means all the power of the enemy. So why do we allow Satan to have his way in our families, in our lives? What does it require? It requires us to wage a good warfare concerning the word of God, the prophecies previously made concerning your life. You have to fight for whatever God has said to you. Remember, when God speaks a word to you, Satan hears it as well. And he will contend to make sure that word doesn't happen. So you have to get into a fight. That's why he tells Timothy to fight, to wage a warfare concerning those promises. There are people in this room, God has given you promises. You have to fight. You have to have faith. You have to step into it, or else it's not going to happen. But the way you respond will determine the outcome. And don't blame God. Listen to this. I think it's King Hezekiah, as far as I can remember. King Hezekiah is on his deathbed. Well, he doesn't think he's on his deathbed, but he's sick. And the prophet Isaiah comes to town. Listen, when Isaiah came to town, you better know, brother. Something either really good or really bad is about to happen. And he goes to the king and he tells the king, listen, in 3 days you're going to be dead. You're sick, you're going to die. Turns around and walks out, begins to walk out. The word was, you're going to die. What does the king do? The king turns around. He begins to cry out to God. His response to God's word is incredible. He says, Lord, don't forget the things that I've done for you. Don't forget me, Lord. And while the prophet is still in the courtyard, because of his response to that word, while the prophet's in the courtyard, the Lord speaks to him and says, go back to him and tell him he's going to live another 10 years. You have to respond to God's word. Your response will determine the outcome. Well, you know, God doesn't change his mind. Okay. He changed his mind there. He'll never violate his word, but he can change his mind. And remember, he can give you the promise, but you've got to step into it. There are things that God has spoken to me that have not yet come to pass. I want to see them come to pass. But if I do nothing, they will not come to pass. I will wait for him and prepare myself for those things to come to pass. And so it shall be with you and your life. But you must respond to his word. You must fight with his word. Every promise in the Bible and every time he has spoken to you, and most of you in this room, God has spoken to you in one or other way, whether it be when you've been reading the Bible, whether it be in a dream, whether it be when you've been praying, God has spoken to you. Write it down. Is anybody out there this evening in Vero Beach? Amen. The way you respond to His word will determine the outcome of how that word will affect your life. You must respond. Elisha responded, and even his grave made sure that every promise was fulfilled. It's amazing. Amen. Let's all stand for just a moment. Father, tonight in this place, we honor you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. And we thank you for your word, Lord, because it is alive. It's living and breathing. And Lord, every promise is yes and amen. Your word will go out and accomplish that it has been sent out to do, Father. But I pray, Lord, that you will use us like it was with the prophet as he went into the presence of God. And he said, Lord, when he was in awe of your glory, when he was in awe of your presence, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." And the angel took a coal of fire and placed it on his lips. That fire, Lord, that in many instances in Scripture represents a judgment, but instead that fire caused him to get full of passion and zeal. And when you said, "Whom shall I send?" the prophet cried out and said, "Lord, send me. Here am I. Send me." Lord, I pray that we will respond to your word with fire and passion, Lord. That you will place inside each and every one of us a desire to fulfill the purpose and plan that you have for this generation. Lord, that we will be a part of your great plan, your purpose for this generation. Lord, don't let us miss it. Don't let us wait. Don't let us respond to your word in a way that causes us to miss the mark, but rather let us be a people, Father, that says, "Lord, let us be that generation. Let us be that people that will step into the fullness." Lord, where you spoke in Ephesians 6 about the fivefold ministry, Lord, you speak about a completion of the body of Christ, how there will be a maturing that will take place. I pray, Father, that we will be the generation that sees that maturing. Lord, that we will be a people that believes, Lord, in your word, that we believe, Father, that the gifts of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is for today. Lord, that we will be a people that will take a hold of you, that we will be a people that will desire your voice, that we will be a people that will worship you in spirit and truth, Lord, because we desire you. Lord, we want to walk with you. We want to hear your voice. We want to know you more, Lord. I pray this evening in this place that we will be that generation. We will be that generation that will take a hold of you, Lord, and we won't let you go. We will be that generation that will take a hold of your promises, and we will respond to them, Father, by doing as your word says. We honor you, we praise you, we love you, we worship you tonight in this place. Come, let's worship the Lord just for a minute. Come, let's lift our voices. Come on, let's respond to God's word tonight in this place. The Bible tells us that God is a healer. The Bible speaks about Him as the God who heals, Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. And in the New Testament, Jesus came and He died on the cross so that we could be saved, and included in that is healing. If you're in this place tonight and you need healing in your body, raise your hand real quick. Raise your hand real quick. Come quickly to the front if you need healing in your body. Come quickly. Don't hesitate. Respond. Come quickly. If you need healing in your body, come quickly.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.